It's very interesting as we just look at a few things this morning. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 12. He talks about the fact that he gave some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ. In in 1 Corinthians 12, if you want to go there, in 1 Corinthians 12, tired, teething pastor. It talks about being different types of ministries, but same God who works all in all. In verse number 7, it says, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." I look at that, and basically what I see is that everything that's done in the body of Christ is to build the body of Christ, to encourage the body of Christ, to strengthen the body of Christ, where we come to a place where our focus is not on what can I get out of this, and I'll talk about that in a moment, but what can I put into the body? As we are led and taught and guided, directed, empowered by the Holy Spirit, it comes to a place where we are not focusing on ourselves. We're focusing on the body. Now, the beautiful part of that, now don't miss this. The beautiful part of that is when we focus on the body, God focuses and ministers to us. And so as we are walking in this body relationship, it's not what can I get, although we have to be getting to give, right? And so God is replenishing what we are giving out by the work of the Holy Spirit. The more you give in building the body, the more we work in building the body, the more He's putting back into us because we can't give without being refreshed. How many of you ever heard of a place called the Dead Sea? How many of you ever realized why the Dead Sea is dead? The Dead Sea is dead because it has no outlets. All the Dead Sea is takes in. And you know if you just take in and take in and take in without ever giving out, it stagnates. And so as we look at the body of Christ, and there's all different kinds of opinions, but what I want to look at is what the Scripture is saying. As we look at the body of Christ, there are things that absolutely through the Holy Spirit just happen. I don't want anybody going home today and grabbing yourself by the throat and saying, well, I got to get more active in the body and I got to do this and I got to do that. That's not what this is about. This is about just being what God has called you to be and just do what God has called us all to do. We all are here to edify one another. And so turn to me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And this is really important. And then I'm going to use some illustrations and then I'll ramble for a while like I normally do, and then I'll get you bored, and then I'll let you go home and take a nap. Wait for 7:30 tonight, and then you can turn on the Packers. Okay, verse number 12, chapter 12. For as the body is, how many?
One.
Okay, how many is one? So God doesn't have a whole lot of different bodies. Amen or oh me?
Amen.
Okay, let's go to some pastor talk. The big thing going to a pastor's convention except at Holy Life is, well, how big's your church? Huh? Well, our church is about 60 by 80. And they always wonder, how many people do you have? I don't have any. How many understand that? They're God's people. And so whenever people focus normally on the church, they're talking about a building and a name. When we focus on the church, we're talking about a name who's building.
Mm-hmm.
I will build my church. That church is founded on Jesus Christ, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I want you to understand something, because there are times you just got to look at things and you cannot think of them in the natural. You cannot think of them in the natural. God has renewed our minds so that we have a supernatural mindset when we're not allowing the thoughts of the world to control what we think. In other words, you can either accept what doctors are saying or what God is saying.
That's right, amen.
And dependent on how you look at that, and I'm not putting down doctors. I met some of the nicest doctors I've ever seen. But they still diagnose. God heals.
Amen.
Fact is, one doctor came in and they were going to put a pump in Judy's leg to keep her heart beating, get the rhythm right. He came in and he said, I'm really concerned about this. And Scott Hagen was in Rapid City with me at the time. And I said, well, let's pray. This is Scott. He's coach of Rapid City Stevens, lives here. But the thing about it is this. Every single believer, and how many of you are believers? Every single believers are working, ministering for the same purpose. There's not a whole lot of different things, whether you're on the prayer team or the pickup team or the serving team or Friday morning dishwashing team or whatever you're on, we're all working for the same purpose, to edify Christ and build the body. There's no difference here. I have no agenda. It's that we come in this building, and this is not a church building. It's not like Solomon's temple. God's presence doesn't dwell in Kirk's office. I wish it would once in a while. God's presence dwells in you, and as you come in, His presence is magnified and manifested in this place.
That's right. That's right.
You are the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Every single believer, for by one Spirit, you're baptized into one body. The only way you get into the body of Christ is that Jesus died for you, shed His blood, you come to Christ, the Holy Spirit picks you up and places you in the body. You don't fill out a membership card. How do I know that? Chapter 12 says, for by one body we're baptized, for by one Spirit we're baptized into one body. Do something. Turn to the person you're sitting next to. Alan, I don't know who you're going to talk to. Just tell them, we're all one. Doesn't matter what you look like. You know, you could be like John and ride a bike here. I get your bike fixed, John. Ride a bike here, or you can be like Pastor and drive a Ford Explorer, or You can be native, or you can be black, or you can be purple, or you can be Hispanic. It's one. And it's time we learn that. God doesn't have a section in heaven for the blacks and the natives and the whites. We're all one. And I don't care if they used to have hell's angels on their jacket or God's angels on their jackets. When they come to Christ, they're part of the body.
Amen.
And so when anybody walks in, we don't stick up our nose at them and say, well, you don't fit here. Yes, they do.
Amen.
I don't care what they came out of. I mean, goodness sakes, what kind of taste did Jesus have? He picked these smelly fishermen. Yeah, and a tax collector, IRS man. You ever been up a tree with your IRS man? Jesus was. There's just something there that we got to get a hold of. And I'm not trying to be mean, but listen, you and I don't determine who's part of the body of Christ. Only He does.
That's right.
And so, our part of the body is to build. We build, and we build, and we build, and we keep walking. Okay, what do I do when hardship comes? If you want to be like me, you stayed in the motel and sucked your thumb. No. I made a commitment to the devil. You know, I'm glad nobody panicked. And I made a commitment that every time he attacks somebody in my family or in our church, I'm going to attack somebody that he has in his power with the gospel. The more he works against me, I'm going to work in the Holy Spirit against him. In one day, we had a person from Aberdeen right next to, from Sisseton right next to us in the same hospital. We had a man who works in Sisseton, works up at the new cemetery they're building, in the hospital right next to us. And we had a man who has family in Sisseton, who walked through one day and heard us talk about Sisseton and said, well, I know that place. And so in that, and not only that, but with other people, we just started ministering. One day, Dr. Rand came in Sioux Falls and said, you know, I think it'd be good if you brought your puppy in. Tell Curtis Fluffy was in the hospital. And so, can you imagine bringing a little fur ball into a hospital, how many people's attention you get? You know, if I'd have been smart, I would have bought me a puppy when I was 17. The women are just love the puppy. And he just opened doors. You could go anywhere with that puppy. Oh, come on in, you know. Well, I never learned that I was cute before, but I learned how cute I was, because every time I took the puppy somewhere, they said, oh, isn't he cute? I said, thank you. Thank you. I never knew I was so cute. So, as the body of Christ, we just keep ministering. And the body of Christ encourages. In Rapid City, one day, Ray came in, Ray Phipps. Gary and Evelyn came in. Scott Hagen came in. You can't imagine, as the body of Christ accepts the calling of God, what that does for you. You can't imagine. Down in Sioux Falls, Doug and Mary Kaufman came in. Dave and Jeannie came in. Other people came in. and how that builds. And we don't realize it because we kind of got a concept. If I don't go in there and perform some miracle or do some healing or do something special, then my importance is not there. I want to tell you, your ability and availability to walk in that hospital room, to walk into that funeral, to walk into somebody's house is so important as the body of Christ. That's how the body of Christ functions. Gary asked me, we were on the fifth floor in Rapid, and his sister Audrey, who just passed away, by the way, was on the sixth floor. And Gary says, will you go and have prayer with her? She was 80-some years old and having some problems. And I said, yeah, I'll go up there. I said, Judy, okay, yeah. Judy became very possessive. You might go through that when you got sick people. Very possessive. And so I walked up the floor and prayed for Audrey, and I looked at her and I said, Audrey, do you know who I am? And Gary said, she might not know who you are. Yeah, you're fearing. You're fearing. Look at this. One body. But the body is one, but has many members. Okay, say this with me. I am a member of the body of Christ. Done deal.
Done deal.
Okay? When you say that, you got to take the rest of this, okay? How many will take this path? How many believes this is from God?
Amen.
So if it's from God, how many are going to reject it? How many of you have some self-image problems in the body of Christ? How many have some self-image problems about living? I want you to look at this. For by one Spirit, this is what we were talking about, we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we've been all made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, how many of you think you're the foot in the body of Christ? Because I'm not the hand, I'm not the body. Is it therefore not of the body? Just because you look at your life and say, I don't fit in, I don't feel right, I don't do this, are you not of the body? No. Can anybody say no?
No.
Can you say no? Are you part of the body? Can you understand that? Eugene, can you understand that? Can you quit running? Okay. You see, the only place you got to run, or you got to run, or I got to run, the only place we can run is to Christ.
Amen.
No, people may not want us around, but God does. And so don't base your judgment on people. Base your judgment on what Christ is saying. Okay? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, it is therefore not of the body. Who's an ear? Okay. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? Now here's the key. Now if you ever come to a place where you don't like your place in the body of Christ, don't complain to people. Talk to God. Okay? Because you may not be in the place God wants you. You may be in the place where somebody put you. We okay?
Yes, sir.
But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as he pleased. If they are all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. Now here's a key. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. I want us to get this. I want us to see this. The leaders of the church, I'm not talking about the bodies of Christ. The leaders of churches use something that was rebuked in this service this morning. They use fear to keep us in bondage. Isn't it amazing? Are we okay? Isn't it amazing by somebody walking up to you and saying, you can't be buried in the church cemetery if you don't go to church, and that freaks us out? What do you care where you're buried? Good Lord. Or you can't have a service in our church if you don't attend our church. Forget it. That's not the body. That's man's church. I'm not putting people down. I'm just saying we get the weirdest concepts. I'm going to tell. Uncle Bud wanted to be buried someplace, and so I went to the person that would give a charge and said, can Uncle Bud be buried up there? Oh, yeah, he can. So, Uncle Bud, you can quit worry. We'll plant you nice and high. But it happens. Who cares? Are we okay? Don't allow religion to affect your membership in the body of Christ. Amen. Nobody's going to heaven by a denominational name.
That's right.
Okay? But there may be people not there because of a denominational name. And so every single person is essential to the body. You all have value. You all have purpose. You've been designed by God. And you know something? If you quit worrying about your design, you may learn to enjoy it. And so we come to a place where we just need to look at things through the eyes of God. You know, my wife is really quiet. Anybody else here really quiet? How many of you would be petrified if you had to come up here and preach today? Huh? Young lady, would you? But because they don't say nothing, that doesn't mean they're not part of the body. Or if you're a blabbermouth like me, it doesn't mean I'm not part of the body. We come to fit. I want to go through one more thing. I found in Galatians chapter 6. There's so much about the body, and there's so much we can put through here. What's another ministry of the body? Another ministry of the body is restoration. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, that works for a woman too. You who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. How many have ever failed? How many ever need to be restored? I have said this for years, and you can do with it what you want. I'm not talking about the body of Christ. I'm saying the church is the only one that kills its wounded. The church kills the ones that don't align with what they believe or what they're doing or how they're handling. It's our purpose together to restore. Without condemnation. We take the prodigals and bring them back to the fold. Bring them back into the body where they acknowledge the fact that they're the body of Christ. No matter what has happened. I have heard so much, and I don't know why, but maybe because I've been just out there sitting and praying and just with Judy all the time. I've heard so many people say, well, they'll get what they deserve. They'll get what they deserve. Or they'll get paid back for what they're doing. You hear it in the news, you hear it from people's mouths. You know how God gives them what they deserve? He forgives them. You know how the body of Christ restores? By not holding anything against receiving, ministering, and loving. Paul says, do it in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, unless you get out there and you need to be restored. We have to watch what we say about people when they're going through a difficult time or seemingly are not where they should be. We need to open our arms and love them. And you know something? There are times we have to let go of our humanity and do the supernatural anointing from God and just love them back. Does that mean you never talk about anything that they've been done? No, you wait till they want to talk about it. If they're coming back to the realm, they're coming back into where they need to be, most likely there'll come a time when they want to share. And we just let them share. You know, I told you so doesn't get many people back. Amen? Amen. So, how much did Pastor need the body of Christ? It was pretty amazing. August 15th, Judy's in Rapids Regional Hospital. All of a sudden, things shut down. They took these big electrodes or whatever they call them and got things going again. That's the first time. We go from Rapid home. We're home for 2 days. She's taken by ambulance to Sioux Falls. Now, I have no anger. I have no unforgiveness. I don't hate doctors. Please understand this. What I'm saying is just what happened. Rapid City didn't feel like they could put in the stents in one of her arteries. They needed a couple. Sioux Falls, Dr. Walk looked at it and said, hey, I can do this. And he did. He came out and said everything was fine on Monday. And that would have been the 22nd. But something went wrong. A matter from going to you. Being euphoric and excited and happy, I drove down to get the car washed and I went to pick up a hamburger for Lane. And my phone rings and on the other end is nursing. Your wife's blood pressure is dropping rapidly. You probably want to get here. Drove back to the hospital and realized that she was bleeding internally from something got cut. Her hemoglobin went from 14 to 7. They worked on her for several hours, put her back on life support, did all the things, put the tubes in, put the tube down her throat, did it all. And nothing, her blood pressure didn't come back. It was at one time, and I believe I saw this, 60 over 20. 120 over 80 is supposed to be about normal. Just sat there and prayed. Kids came. We prayed. I needed a miracle. All of a sudden, in a moment, things changed. Her blood pressure started going back. They gave her 4 pints of blood. She started to respond, although she doesn't remember any of it. She started to respond. The next day they came and said, we are going to try to turn down the oxygen level. We're going to see if she can breathe on her own. If she can breathe on her own. It wasn't saying it was going to work. So they started doing it, turning it down in the afternoon. The next day, got down further and further. Finally, they just let her breathe on her own. They knew that was okay. They knew that she was going to be able to, they were going to be able to take the respirator or the life support off, and she was fine until the next day. Came in and they said, hey, we had to give her blood. She's still bleeding. Prayed again. Everything worked out. She was weak. Dr. Rand came in one day, said, hey, I think she can go home. Fine. Kathy was here from Texas. We loaded her up, brought her home. We were home for 6 hours. She couldn't breathe. Doctors here said she's having a heart attack. Called the chopper. Put her on the chopper, flew her back to Sioux Falls. I get there that night, that afternoon, and they say, no, it's not a heart attack. She's got pneumonia. She just couldn't breathe. The heart wasn't working good enough to keep the water off. She had congestive heart failure and pneumonia. Again, when the air ambulance came from Aberdeen, they put her on all these life supports. I was sitting there watching. You know what your mind is thinking? How do you ever survive? You may not. You may survive the heart attack, but are you going to survive these life supports? Two days she's on life supports. Again, went through the process of turning everything down, and she was getting better. Started to climb. Between the first and second episode, there's a man by the name of Dick that lives down the road here, lives in Pat Cordy's house, old house. They flew him in. Started going over there, talk to him, started over to minister to him. And if you ever drive the road and you see this guy walking along the road, that's Dick. Don't run over him, please. And so his daughter, Linda Pierce is her name, came to our room one day because I had been ministering to Dick, and she says, how's your life, how's your health insurance? And I said, what health insurance? I got Medicare. And she says, I want to tell you something. I'm an agent for Medica. I'm not trying to sell you any life insurance or health insurance. This was the 30th or 31st of August. She says, if you sign up today, your policy will go into effect tomorrow. And I said, I'd be dumb not to. I didn't know how long she was going to stay there. And so she signed us up. A few days later, I called and I got a number. We got our cards. In between that time of signing up on the first day of September, having life insurance, Judy was flown by the helicopter to Sioux Falls. Linda told me, get the enhanced program. That means you pay nothing. You don't pay anything for the helicopter. You pay nothing for surgery. You pay nothing to the hospital. What Medicare don't cover is covered. This last 10 days has been totally covered by Medicare and health insurance. Isn't that amazing? I mean, God just happened to put her next door to us. No mistakes. I mean, do I have some bills coming? Undoubtedly. Am I worried about it? No, I'm just not going to pay them. I'll write them a check when they put me in my box. No. But I want to see, and you to see, just the hand of God. Judy could have been dead 3 times or more. And like I said earlier, if she would have passed, we know where she was. Didn't want her to. Didn't want to be alone. But I'll tell you, don't call pastor to be your nurse. I'm terrible. I don't do good with bedpans. I don't do good with a lot of other stuff. But I've learned how to demonstrate love to my wife in a different, total different way. Friends, we are the body. We are people of faith. It doesn't mean we don't go through hard times. It just means God is always there to get us through. Paul says his strength is made perfect in my weakness. There comes a time when we just recognize, God, I'm weak, and you're my strength. And I can't thank this body enough for your prayers. I can't thank you enough for what you went through with us. We never did feel alone, never felt forsaken. Just always felt that we had a group of people, not only here, but through Facebook and some other places, who are praying and believing, and thank God we made it. No matter what happens, we make it.